Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight in the middle of your black pants party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur, sitting in the Duck Dash Studios in Oxford, Mississippi. Joining me on this Monday, Josh Webb. Josh, turn around and look behind you.
I don't see you.
No, just look behind you right now on your cabinets at the nutrition shop.
Uh-huh.
Where's the inventory?
Oh, it's long gone. That's what I'm up here doing today. Restocking.
So your shipment came in this morning?
Yeah, it comes out of Memphis, so I get it real quick.
All right, so for those of you that are wondering what the heck's going on, Josh opened his nutritional shop on Friday. Saturday. You open on Saturday?
Yeah, I told you. You called me Friday and asked what was going on, and I told you we opened on Saturday.
I thought you opened on Friday. So you went through all of your stock on Saturday, the day you opened?
Not all of it, but if we'd have been open today, then I'd have been hurting.
So the whole town of Corinth showed up at your opening.
No, all of Alcorn County did.
Alcorn.
Man, it was good. We can't complain at all. It was good. It was fun. It was a busy, busy day.
Wow. That's awesome, man. I'm proud for you.
So now I'm just unreal. Trying to figure out how to juggle this and real estate.
It sounds like you'll have some help here in the next couple of weeks, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be good. But, all right, well, anyway, I know you want to grill me on that, and it's fine. But you talking about help. I know that you had some help recently trying to kill some turkeys and then come to find out that you actually had more help than you thought from people who weren't invited. And I need to know a lot about that because all I've gotten are bits and pieces and some text messages about how some of you hate turkeys and how some of you couldn't hit them. And there's just I've got a whole lot of pieces to the puzzle, but I have no idea what the puzzle looks like. That I need. I will say my favorite text that came across, I think it was a text. It may have been just you talking to me. My favorite bit of information was the fact that you've got a poacher so bold on one place that the poacher is spreading wheat. And that's pretty bad. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Oh, man. Spence came back. This place, there's one guy that surrounds one of these properties that turkey hunts. And on one side, Spitz came back and he rode to the very corner of the property. I've never even been back that far. You know, there's three flocks of turkeys on this place. And there's one on the west side. There's one directly in the middle. And there's one on kind of the southeast side of the property. Three flocks, literally three flocks of turkeys on this place. Well, Spence went on the northeast side. I've never even been to that side. He said, man, could have told me that you made it out here. I said, what? I said, man, I didn't put out anything. I said, what are you talking about? Well, he said, well, somebody must be doing some erosion control on the turn road at the very back northeast corner.
Oh, man. That's a bold poacher right there. See, look, you thought you had the place to yourself. Apparently, that fella thinks he got the place to himself. So it's just a free for all out there, man.
So let me tell you about this place. So leading into the cabin, this cabin sits in the middle of nowhere. The middle of nowhere. You can get two channels on the TV picked up with an antenna. You barely have phone service. So
yeah,
this thing has a huge main electrical gate coming into the property.
Mm-hmm.
I've discussed it with them before. I always use the back gate to come into the property because whenever that main gate gets open, it's like the owner puts out a sign that says, welcome, come on in.
Oh, so it's just like putting up a posted sign in Pecan Orchard. It's pretty much just saying, welcome everybody.
If you decipher it from English to poacherism, that's what it says. Welcome.
Yeah, that's it's like what there's that urban dictionary that some people use. But see, this is the poacher dictionary. A posted sign means welcome to all. Yeah. So that's all that means.
Well, he's not going to prosecute anybody. I mean, the man could run for governor of North Mississippi and literally win it. There was an election for North Mississippi. I mean, he's just that popular of a guy. He's not going to prosecute somebody over a stupid turkey. And if they were, he may if they were in there shooting his ducks. He has an unbelievable duck hunting property. But, yeah, I mean, we kind of let Spence and them run that property. And I know that you and Dawson had a conversation.
Well, I knew how things were going, or maybe how things weren't going. So Dawson put up a picture on Instagram in his Instagram story, and I messaged him and I said, man, I'm sorry y'all got gar hold. I didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And look, the only reason I can say that is because I wasn't there. So, that's it. I can't say I wasn't invited, but I just didn't go.
I took Dawson and Criswell to my secret little hole.
Mm.
And granted, it is by a sawmill.
So yeah, that's what the message came back from Dawson. Said, yeah, I knew something was wrong when we were set up in the parking lot of a sawmill.
you better be on your turkey by 7:15 because that sawmill's cranking up. But man, there is a flock of turkeys beside that sawmill that can't be beat. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of hens, but man, there's four or five gobblers up there. Jeez.
Hey, those turkeys don't think anything about it. They hear it every day. You know?
No. Nothing at all. So, you know, it was just bad luck that second day that Josh and Dawson, because they were sitting right up under the tree for the past three times that I've been there that gobbler has roosted on. He should have flown right down, 15, 20 yards from them. But, as luck would have it, I went to the secondary spot that just one of those old summer days, 30% chance of rain, you get it.
Mm,
I went to the gar hole.
Yeah.
And they were there. So, well, I hadn't told this story on the podcast. I was debating whether to tell it or not. Everybody knows from listening I missed a turkey too, right?
Yep, if they didn't, I was about to tell them.
All right, excuse me. So, allergies. So on the way back to camp, we're pulling into camp, and out in the field, as you're driving up to the camp, is a flock. When I say flock on this air, I mean 20, 30, 40 turkeys. Minimum 20. Yeah. So they just kind of walking off. They just kind of walk off, you know, not really bothered by the truck. They see trucks all the time. But so we pull up to where they walk. They walked into a old logging load where they loaded log trucks.
Yeah.
Pretty sizable area. Probably the size of a football field. Maybe a little less. But they're all standing in that little area. They cross right in front of my truck. I jump out of the truck, grab Criswell's gun. Mine's in the back seat.
Oh, man. You put bad juju on another man's gun.
All right, so the whole time we're going up there, Criswell said, just stop and I'll jump out and I'll kill them all. I'm going to kill them. You know, Criswell's pissed off. And so I said, no, Criswell, let's just go around the backside. We'll call to them. We get up there, and I see us three gobblers mixed in the group. Give me that freak. I slam it up in park. I grab his gun, jump out. Criswell's in the truck. Shoot the pepper. I said, which one? I can't tell. It's 100 of them. Shoot the one with the white head. I can't see which one's got a white head as they go through a briar patch.
Man, y'all sound like some high school kids with nothing better to do.
We were, by the time we were getting ready to leave, we were pissed off at them. That they were uncooperative.
I have been there. I have for sure been in that kind of mind frame before. And will be before this season's over with. I mean, I just know it will.
So, like I said, jump out of the truck, take off running towards them. And the bad part about it is when I put the gun up on my shoulder, I'm 5 steps. Somehow when I flipped the gun up, the sling fell over the sight. And I finally found the gobbler. Oh, man.
Mm.
It was TK and Mike made over.
That's what I was about to say. That's exactly what it sounds like to me.
But exactly. I was TK and Mike.
Oh, man. Well, at least y'all got to see and play with turkeys. You know, it's been a weird year. I mean, I've had some really, really good hunts, but I've had a whole lot of dead, silent, absolutely nothing happen hunts too.
But I'll say this, if we would have planned to do this a week later, man, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, it is going to be
this
a lot of killing going on.
Yeah. I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
It's gonna be a lot of hens getting on the nest earlier in the morning.
I saw a hen by herself this morning. I ran her out of the road twice. I went by and she was standing in the road right on the fence line. And when I came back by, she was right in the same spot. I don't know if she's got her nest. Right on that, you know, that fence line, it's thick down through there. It's got some cedars and some stuff right up by the road. I don't know if she's looking for a nest or, I mean, she wasn't trying to cross the road at the time. I'll put it that way. She was just right there, you know, just kind of ran out of a little thicket twice on me. So when I rode by.
Let me tell you folks something. You got to understand something about turkey hunting. Josh, any details I leave out of this, please go into further detail. There is a window, just like in deer hunting. We don't experience it a lot as duck hunters, but just like in deer hunting, there's a window in turkey hunting. It is the glorious window, as I would call it. There's about 7 days in there. That if you don't turkey hunt any other time, why people just beat themselves to death before or after this window, I don't get. Because you can go in that window and you pretty much...
Oh, you'd be a rock star. Yeah. Well, no, you're right. I mean, that window is the reason that I started keeping a journal years and years ago, because I finally realized, I was like, you know what? Yeah, some years it's all or different by a week or two. That's why I say it's always a 10 to 14 day window. But there is always a 10 to 14 day window. And
they will come to you no matter what.
Oh, yeah. And
when you call to them,
70% of the dates overlap every year. So what I'm saying is, if you're looking at a 10-day window, you plus or minus 3-4 days on both sides of that, and it's that way. I mean, and that's the truth. I mean, I've got years and years and years of journals that, you know, in my journals, when I put in a journal entry on a day that a turkey got killed, whether I killed it or whoever I was with killed it, you know, I put a star. And there's a whole lot more starred dates in that 10-day, 10 to 14-day window. And in this part of the world, in North Mississippi, it's always middle of April. Some years it backs up and it's that last week of March. Some, you know, by a few days. Now, when we lived in Central Mississippi, that window is different. That window is usually end of March to the first week of April. But yeah, I mean, it happens, and it's the truth. It's when the perfect storm hits. I mean, hens are
majority of your big bucks, yeah, in the deer population is killed in that same window.
Yep.
They just do stupid stuff.
That's right. They do stupid stuff. They're looking for what they feel like they haven't been able to find, when in reality, that's all they've been doing. I mean, all the gobblers have been doing is just flying down and strutting around and breeding hens all day. And so in their mind, everything's good and happy. But then all of a sudden they do it one morning and the hens don't fool with them. Or they realize that the hens didn't even roost with them. Then they start doing ignorant stuff because they're like, well, crap, I have to find me a woman. And a lot of times that woman ends up being the last one they ever hear. Same way with a deer. I mean, same way with a deer. You know, they do stupid stuff. They move. They'll big mature deer move in the daylight more. They in their mind they have got to go. You know, but it's the time of year when they do that. They don't do it every. You know, they don't have a chance to do it 365 days a year. They're just not programmed that way. So yeah, you're right.
Turkeys. Josh, let me say this. On turkeys, you can just about calculate it every year if you keep records. Because turkeys are
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
They're going to do this. Now, just like Josh said, it can be within a week. It can change a week. So, if you're planning to take off from a job to go turkey hunting, this is a week you need to take off in.
Yep.
You know, catch it in there. But it's the same every year. Why is that? Because of length of day. Just like the rutting, deer rutting, you know, turkeys going nuts. It's all based on length of day. All of it.
I know people probably get, especially people who've listened to this podcast for a few years, probably get tired of hearing us talk about length of day. But length of day is... I mean, there's a reason we talk about it so much.
Hey, I don't know if you saw this, Josh, pop up on Duck South. You see the fight for public water in Louisiana?
I knew it was going on, but I have not dove off into it or anything like that.
Hey, sometime in the next week or so, you and I need to do that podcast. We need to go in great detail.
I'm all in for it. I'm looking it up now to see what I've missed. I know that it's been a daily battle for some folks, especially for the last well, for a long time, but I guess it's kind of gotten more public in the last year, 2 years. Now,
well, there's
really
two states
brought to the forefront
in the whole United States that have just these outdated, outlandish laws when it pertains to public water. And I want to say that it's Louisiana, and I want to say the other one is Wyoming or Colorado or Montana, one of them.
Well, Montana, shoot, they've always got public land stuff going on.
I know it's not Montana. It's either Wyoming or Colorado, one of them. But they are totally separate when it comes to everything that's been studied, released, written into law, ruled on by courts. They are just the opposite. How they get away from it, I don't know. Because here in the state of Mississippi, I'll just tell you this. No matter if the water is sitting on top of the ground or under the ground, guess who that water belongs to?
Yeah, I know where you're going with it.
It belongs to the state.
Yeah, and we need to go into detail soon about it. And there's definitely some people that we need to bring on here with us when we do it that are a lot that are not just a lot well versed in it, but they deal with it every day. It's part of their job description. We need to get those people on here. Some of them will be familiar names to the
Well, I'll say this. Look, I want you people to be thinking about this before we jump off of that big discussion. No matter where the lake is or what body of water, if Farmer A wants to pump water out of that lake, guess what he has to do? Guess what he has to do? I'm not talking about pumping out of a navigable waterway. I'm talking just public. I'm just talking about a lake, any lake in general. Guess what he has? He has to get it approved through the state, and then he has to put it in the paper for public notice. Same thing. I'll say this. Everybody that's listening to this podcast knows I have been in a hellacious fight when it comes to public water.
Yeah.
You know, and their reason always, it always becomes about money. When you dig deep enough, it's all about money. And you've heard me say that in the Mossy Island Outfitter story. You know, when people, well, we just don't want you making money on the water above our land. What? Well, who's to say that my water didn't float to your end of the lake and you pumped it out and made a better crop? It becomes a different story then.
Exactly.
It's okay.
You don't need to get blood pressure like this on a Monday.
Woo! Man.
I knew that's where you were going to go with it, but it's true. I mean, it's the truth.
Hey, I need an opinion from you. I'm going to leave that alone because my blood pressure will get up and I will have a heart attack. But I need an opinion from you and everybody that's listening to this. It's something that Josh and I talked about before, and I want to see us do. But I'm thinking about getting in contact with ex-game wardens. Mm-hmm. And see how many we can bring on the air and just tell old stories. Some of their greatest pursuits. Is that something that y'all would listen to? Because we are coming. Look, when turkey season ends, there's a drought when it comes to podcasts. This month of July, holy crap. And halfway through August, it's like everybody forgets the outdoors for about 2 months. From about middle of June to middle of August, Josh, isn't that right?
Yep. That's when everybody's just kind of like, whatever. And I understand it, and everybody is. But
you know, I'm not trying to...
That's the time frame when we need to do it. I agree.
And I'm not doing it for ratings. We don't have ratings. Who gives a damn? I'm doing it just to keep people interested, you know, through the summer. And I think that that would be a great way to do that. If you agree with Josh and I, put a comment. Yes. That's something you would want to hear, because I think that it could get really good. If you get the right people on here telling stories, wow, some of their pursuits. So I'm going to tell you something. There's, you know, what was the old Seinfeld episode that said, you know, you go in a room, you see a proctologist, just sit down and listen to what he tells you. It's the same way for me when it comes to game wardens. You enter a room with a game warden, especially one that has a personality, sit down, kick back, and just listen. You're about to hear some really good stuff.
But I want to get into public land stuff, and I for sure want to get into the tales from the game warden or whatever, opinions from whatever in the world we'd call it. I'm interested in seeing what everybody thinks about that, though, before we start trying to line that up.
I can go into great detail with you about it, how it pertains to the Supreme Court, how it goes back to the old Attorney General's opinions, how it goes back to the law that was written long ago. We can go in great detail. So, Josh, hope you get restocked, brother.
I hear you. I know you really want to just give me as hard a time as you can about it, but it's fine. It's fine.
Hey, send me a Captain America down here. Ship it.
Most popular one.
I had a grape. Liam bought me a grape a couple of weeks ago. Now, I was riding a cloud looking down on Earth after I drank that, but it was good.
Yeah, there's little nutrition club shop, whatever you want to call them, popping up all over the place. But yeah, you got one right there in town in Oxford.
Wow. Hey, do you happen to, I didn't ask you this, you didn't happen to put a drive-through in yours, did you?
No.
Can you make them fast enough to put a drive-through in them?
Oh, yeah. But, we're not allowed to have a drive-thru.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Got me.
Here's the reason that I asked that.
The rules are rules. But can you make them fast enough? Well, absolutely. I mean, that's the reason we do so many of them a day is because we're able to get them in and out so fast.
Starbucks is right in front of me. And bringing kids back in the morning, or not taking kids to school in the morning, you come back. That line is a mile long.
Yeah.
For the drive-thru.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's something that I'm glad I don't have to battle.
Mm.
I got all the parking you want right here in downtown Corinth.
Corinth.
Who am I? Like I was raised here, don't know how to say it.
I will send Tom Pittman up there to whip your...
I tell you what, if you can get Tom Pittman out of the woods this time of year to whip somebody, that'd be a good day. Because I guarantee
Tom is from...
I guarantee you, he's in the woods.
Tom is from Corinth, and when we were in college, we were in the same fraternity, and... Anyway, when I would say Corinth, or I can't remember how I used to say it, Tom and I became great friends, deer hunted together a lot, but he would always correct me. Corinth. It's Corinth, man. Say it right. Alcorn. I think that's what he always, because he would say Alcorn County, not Alcorn, Alcorn.
Alcorn County.
All right, Joshua, I'll let you go. I enjoyed it, man. Pretty good. Really good.
Are you hunting this week?
Yep.
I just need to know. Okay. That's all I need to know. That's all I need to know before we get off here.
I am. Informed my bride. She wrote in a written approval for that to happen, so it's gonna happen.
I'm in a slight timeout.
So
I don't know how much I'm gonna be hunting. Because I'm ahead of Katie. I'm ahead of my wife. And I almost had to call you and tell you I was coming to sleep on the couch last week. I almost did the unthinkable and killed another one. If I'd have gone 2 up on Katie, no. I just had to see my kids on the weekends. So
you need to go park at the gate.
I'm just scouting.
Hey, have you been to the field?
Scouting with it. Oh, funny thing. I'm glad you brought that up. We rode by there yesterday afternoon. We did. We literally rode by there yesterday afternoon. We made a loop after the rain quit, and I said, let's just ride by there and just see. And we laughed and laughed and laughed riding by there. Looks the same. Turkey's still there. And it looks like Bio Metro at that gate with all the tracks coming in and out down there. So I hope all you boys are having a good time hunting those turkeys. Because by the way it looks, nothing has changed. There wasn't anybody hunting out there yesterday afternoon, surprisingly. But yes, I have been by there.
Oh, the old gate. All right, Josh, I'll let you go. I forgot to tell you at the beginning that it is Monday, of course. Mondays with Rob's coming up right now. All right, guys, like I told you on the front end of the podcast, Rob Groom. I don't have to always do that sound. I'm kind of like the guy at the boxing back in the late 80s, early 90s when Tyson was boxing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, at least you don't say Rob Crooms with an S like Walmart's and Kroger's. Like, I don't know why people put the S on there. It doesn't bother me at all. It bothers my friends way more than it bothers me. I'm just like, whatever, dude. I've been called so much worse that doesn't even faze me. But it is kind of funny. I'm like,
Have you got your genetic test back yet?
Man, I haven't. I'm kind of mad about that because my sister already got hers back, and I'm still waiting on mine, and I'm getting a little bit mad. I'm going to have to get in touch with them today. I think they're upset because I didn't download their app. You're supposed to download an app when they accept your DNA to, like, see all when it's coming and all this and that, but I never did do that. And so I don't know. I'm upset, but it took hers a while. I'm hoping that I'll hurry up and get it. I'm pretty upset about it.
Let me ask you this. Are the people that's running the DNA matching system the same people that's running the sweatshirt company also?
I guess so, but I've got to get my sweatshirt out and get it. I can't wait till it cools back down so I can wear that baby. Several more. I want to get the turkey one. And use that to for turkey hunting, but I haven't been able to get it yet.
This is no joke. All right, I told you that I ordered one a week before you got yours in, right? I'd ordered it.
Yes.
I'd ordered the greenhead, the mallard.
Yes. Good choice.
When I saw yours, I was like, oh man, this is so awesome. You know. And so you posted that picture second week of January, maybe, right?
Yeah, and I ordered it like in September.
Well, let me just tell you something. So if you posted that the second week of January, I ordered mine the first week of January. I've yet to get it. Here we are, the first week of April.
I know, man. It takes a long time coming from there.
must be in a rowboat coming over.
It probably is. It's so worth it though, man. I mean, it's so worth it.
Maybe we just need to make them ourselves. Maybe you and I just need to go in and make them and sell them, and you get them within a week.
Yeah, we probably should. I mean, I don't know why we haven't really. I mean, as hot as they are.
I mean, this will be the first ever, you know, the Chinese stealing the American secrets and take them to the factories over there, sending them back to America. This will be the first time we've stolen something from China and started selling it to the American people.
We might should write a letter to the Oval Office and let them know, because that'd sure be a big deal.
I think we could come up with some great ideas. We copy all of theirs and then make some more. We need a fishing one for sure.
Oh yeah, we need a big crappie one and a bass one. There's so many fishing things. Like the other day, I was thinking about this because, you know, obviously all I do is think about boats pretty much and hunting and fishing. And I was thinking about boats, and I was thinking about how all these people, like, you've got bass fishermen, crappie fishermen, and those folks are kind of merging a little bit. I know the bass people don't like the crappie people, but you know, you see crappie people now in these nice glass boats, like Rangers and Tritons and all these nice boats with all their crappie stuff on them. And so you got this big market there, and you also got a big market in the metal boat, you know, industry for people to kind of, they can bass fish or crappie fish. Well, anyway, the other day I was scrolling through the internet or magazine or something, and I see this catfish boat that Excel made, and I'm like, why are you trying to get catfishing people to buy a boat that costs $70,000 or whatever it costs? Most catfishermen I know have a 20-foot flat bottom and go out there and just throw them in the bottom of the boat. Like, they have made a high-class catfish boat. And I'm like, why would your niche be catfishermen when you've got 600 million people that bass fish and crappie fish? Why wouldn't you make a crappie boat that's also a bass boat? Like, why are you getting into this? That would be like me selling, selling dirt to a dirt farm or something. I don't know. I don't get it. Like, who makes these decisions? I don't understand it. It's the same thing as the flap. Like, who does this? How does this make it to production? Somebody somewhere thinks this stuff is a good idea. And there's no way somebody that deals with these boats, I need them to call me and explain to me why they do this. And there's no way they've sold more than 20. There's no way. Impossible.
Well, I'm sure that somebody
sorry
will.
For that, sorry for that rant.
No, somebody will for sure send that to Jay Paul, and he'll be calling either me or you sometime in the next couple of days.
Well, that's fine. That's fine, because I need to know. I really want to know.
The catfish, man, that must be a happening thing, because Jay Paul and some other guy have started a weekly podcast video-ish,
too. Dude, one of my best friends did a photo shoot for him. Like, I don't get it. Like, the rumor is there's 50,000 plus catfishermen that they're catering to. Out of those 50,000 people, that's like the Hummer, man. Who all needed a Hummer? How many Hummers did GM sell? It was a lot more than catfishing boats, but you're in the same thing. You're cornering the market. Like, you don't, like, you're putting yourself in a corner. You cannot, like, it's not going to work. Like, they used
all right, so let's think this through. Let's think this through a second. Hold on. All right, so the boat is 70,000, right? Did you say that?
I don't know. I made that up. It's probably 30 plus the motor. So you're getting it, you know, you're probably, it's probably a $40,000 boat. I don't know, but it's a very expensive boat. It's very nice. Don't get me wrong. But it's for catfishing.
You know, I've been to some black tie events before. I blended quite a few with my lovely bride. And I've never been working the room and anybody say, hey, man, you going to be at the catfish event this weekend?
No.
You get where I'm going with that? I don't know.
Yes.
A lot of wealthy people that are involved in catfish. But I know a ton of people, wealthy people, that are involved in bass fishing and crappie fishing. I get what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. And I don't understand. Like, I'm, you know, I just don't get it. And I don't know. But I just think that...
I'm like you. Everybody that I know that catfish religiously had a freaking a 20-foot flat bottom. This sucker is 8 foot wide. I mean, it is huge.
Okay, it's just not... I don't understand it. And why? Who are you catering to? I mean, let's just... Why not? Why not make an awesome boat with a side console and make it where you can bass fish and crappie fish? Or just make a bass edition and a crappie edition. You'd sell the crap out of them. People want these. Why do you think people are buying bass trackers and crappie fishing out of them? Because they're nice aluminum boats. They have live wells. They have carpet. They have stuff. And people like them. And they're easy to do either one. So why don't they make that? Why are they making Stormcat? What the hell? I don't understand. And maybe I'm the idiot here, but I do this every day. And if I had one of those at my lot, I don't know what I would do with it. Like, what? I don't understand. And I'm sure it's me. Maybe I need to listen to Jay Paul's podcast or just call him. I've tried to call him, but what are we doing here? They made a crappie boat. I owned one of them. It was badass. It was awesome. And they only made it for 1 year.
Really?
Yes, and it was awesome. It was an 1860 crappie edition. It had like a 90-horse Suzuki on it. Had three live wells. It was perfect. It was laid out perfect. And then it's gone. I have no idea. I can't get it around my... I cannot wrap it around my head. I can't figure it out. And, you know, all these, like, everybody gets on the internet with these metal boats, and they're like, man, I'm only doing 42. I think I should be doing 48 or 50. Why? Why are you going 50 miles an hour in an aluminum boat? Why? You want to go fast, buy an $80,000 Ranger or Bullet and go 90. Why? Like, it cracks me up. I see these guys, they're like, they got their little video meter out that shows their speed, and they're hauling ass in a lake. Their hair's back, and like at any moment, you'll be fly of the boat. And they're like, man, I only hit 47 today. Do y'all think I'd have my motor mounted high enough, or do I need a different prop? I'm like, 47? Like, what are you're running through the woods at 47? Like, what are you, like, what, is it worth it? Like, what, okay, well, all right, let's just, I've done it, so I mean, I haven't done 47, but I've done about 35 or 40 through the woods, and that is dangerous. So if you're going to run 47, if you got to beat somebody the hole that bad, you better be hunting freaking Nash Buckingham's old hole in Biomita. Or something. I mean, you better be really pounding them. I mean, you're risking, you got a lot going on at 47 in the dark, you know, in a metal boat. So it just makes me laugh. Like I see these posts and I want to put in there like, oh, well, yeah, I'm doing 72 right now in my fishing boat. And I mean, I feel like I'm going, you know, 30 in a metal boat. I just don't understand. But I mean, hell yeah.
Hey, let me ask you this. Crappie fishermen are equal to deer hunters and bass fishermen are equal to duck hunters. In the sense of their how well they treat people.
Dude, I've seen bass fishermen that I know, and I'm not going to mention any names, but I've seen them get so close to another boat and just completely just blow by another boat, it cracks me up. And then, you know, I'll be crappie fishing, spider rigging, and like you'll get close to somebody and you'll say, hey, how you doing? You know, are you catching any? Where, you know, then they say, oh, you're from so-and-so, do you know, where are you about you from? And I mean, it's just kind of cordial. I have buddies that go with me for the first time. They're like, how do y'all not run into each other? And we're like, well, we just move out of the way. You know, it's just kind of like a, you know, you just get out of the way. It's just what it, you know, and the bass guys are like, y'all crappie fishing, it's just stupid. Y'all spider rigging, you know. So yeah, it, it's, It's pretty funny, and you're right. I mean, it's a totally different. It's not different. It's exactly the same, but it's just funny. Like the whole thing about, well, I got this new Ranger, you know, $85,000 boat, and it pulls up beside this Bass Tracker, you know. It's just funny, man. It's the same exact thing. It's exactly the same.
If duck hunters are equal to bass fishermen, it's like bass fishermen are fighting for sponsorships for, you know, even people that don't do it professionally or just fish tournaments on the weekend. You know, same kind of thing you see on social media with duck hunters. They're fighting for sponsorships.
It's that too, but it's these electronics and stuff. Like, people got, like, the bass fishermen get snobby about these new electronics. Like, I've got fish finders on my boat that have live transducer. I can literally see fish eat my bait. Literally. I can see the fish in front of my boat. I can see the fish below my boat. I can see them swimming. I can see the fish, okay? So it doesn't mean you can catch them, but you can stay on them and see what they're doing. And you can see what depth they're at. And when you're crappie fishing, you know, with the water change, the temperatures will move up and down. So I may be at 6 foot and see them move to 4, and I move all my rods up to 4 foot, and the boat beside me that doesn't have it doesn't know that. So they're just out of luck. So, yeah, it's almost cheating. And the bass guys are like, they banned them from all these big tournament things, and they're not letting anybody use them. But you get these new electronics out, they'll put new electronics out like every 6 months, and everybody has to have them. And it's like, they're not that much different than what you got. And it's like $7,000 to rig a whole boat up with these new electronics, and they still do it. Where do they get this money? Like, if you pass a trailer house, if you pass a single wide in Monticello, Arkansas, that's got an $85,000 Ranger sitting out in front of it, I mean, I get it, dude. I like boats too, and I want the baddest and biggest and all that, but at what point do you say, I fish 3 days a week, but I have everything invested in this boat? At what point do you say, you know, maybe the fish just, you know, whatever happened to just going out to the dock and throwing your Zebco with a cricket? Like, that nobody does that spin anymore, except for, yeah, what happened to just throwing a little beetle spin at your pawpaw's pond back there? You know, and you catch them like every third cast because they're basically tame fish. But now you go to the river and spend $120 in gas, spend another $40 on oil, you spend another $30 on beer, you get ice, you got everything, food. I mean, you end up spending $400 or $500 a weekend when you could go to your pawpaw's pond and catch twice as many fish and go to the house.
Because it's the same as public and private duck hunting. You'll be accused of catching tame fish versus fighting the public to catch a few fish.
Right. I went to one of the big places.
It's private versus public in duck hunting. Same argument.
It's hilarious, and it's funny how many similarities they have. Because, you know, I got to have this boat. It's the hot boat. It looks cool. It's the fratty boat. If you don't have one, you'll never kill a duck. You know, and then they're like, oh, well, this other boat company sucks because they're not this boat company and blah, blah, blah. And, oh, this boat company sucks or this motor's no good because it doesn't go fast enough. It's the same thing. I'm literally throwing my hands in the air right now as I talk. Literally.
Totally changing the subject. Totally. Okay. 180 degrees. Hey, do you know that your delivery receipt button is on in your text messages?
Of course it is. You mean the red button? Like the red notification?
Yes.
Of course it is.
It's these technologically things that I'm finding out more and more about you.
Dude, the
hard whore, and now you're the delivery receipt guy.
No. It just tells me. No, dude, all iPhones do that unless you turn it off. It tells you if it's red or delivered. It doesn't tell me, like, you know.
No. I can see
I can see if you read it. Of course. So all the young kids now, I didn't know this till the other day. I hang out with a few guys that are a little younger than me, not like 14, but you know what I mean? And they were joking about this girl that left them on red. And I said, what does that mean? Like, I was thinking red, like the color. And they're like, no, it's when you text somebody and they read it and they don't text back. They leave you on red. And I'm like, so you're telling me y'all get upset because somebody reads your text and doesn't respond immediately? And they're like, yeah, she left me on red. And I'm like, kids these days. But yeah, I have mine own. I don't care. Like, I mean, like Elizabeth got mad at me last night because I was turkey hunting and she was like, I don't know. I was out there kind of late trying to see some stuff. And she was like, well, I've been trying to text you. And I'm like, I don't have service. Like, you would know if I was getting them because it would say red.
I don't know what's worse. When you're in a speed text, when you need to know information quickly, you see the red pop up. Then below it, you see the bubbles pop up like they're texting you back. And then all of a sudden, the bubbles disappear.
Now, the best is when you're in a hurry and you're the person that's bubbling the other person and you forget to hit send. Or somebody calls you and you completely see. This happens to me all the time. Like I'll be at the shop and like a customer will walk in. I'll be mid text and so I'll just put the phone down. And so then something happens and I forget I was texting that person. So like two days will go by and they'll send me like a middle finger and I'm like what? And I look down and I hadn't hit send. And so I send it and I'm like sorry man. And they get more pissed about that than anything. Because not only did I leave them on red for a while, the bubble thing was going, and I don't know how long it goes, but you know they thought it was coming, and I was talking to a customer, you know, who knows what I was doing.
You know, one of the most used excuses when not returning a text is when somebody does that and they send it to you, and I'm not saying this is you, but oh man, I forgot to hit send. I've used it before. How many times? Just give me a percentage.
It happens.
You're the bookie. You're the guy that sets the lines. It happens sometimes. But what percentage of that time is that a lie because people never responded at all?
Well, I mean, like...
If they use that.
Like, I don't like leaving a conversation without it kind of being over. You know, a lot of stuff, especially when I'm dealing with business stuff on a text message or an instant message, somebody will, like, when you end the conversation, it'll either just end or they'll be like, thank you, and then you have to decide if you're going to say thank you, and, like, you don't know where the conversation ends, and you know if you type something back, then they're going to type something back. So you got to decide, like, am I going to let this go here or am I just going to, you know, do the old thanks and then get the thanks and then get the I appreciate it, and then you know you kind of get stuck on text is so much different, and now so many people are wanting to text instead of talk that everything's changed, you know. So
oh yeah,
I mean you could talk. Talk to somebody on the phone.
Are you a southern gentleman when it comes to texting? And what I mean by that is, do you get direct to the point? Do you just say, hey, like me and you going fishing? Or I'm texting you to see if you want to go fishing. I text you and say, you want to go fishing? Or do you say, hey, buddy, how you doing? Hope you're well. You want to go fishing today?
No, I would never do that. You know I'm pretty blunt, if you don't know that by now. But the problem I run into is that I get really antsy. And I'll text one of my buddies, you want to go fishing Saturday? And they won't text back. So I'm like, okay, well, so I text my other buddy. You want to go fishing Saturday? And then next thing you know, you got three or four people invited. And they'll all say yes at once. And you're like, okay, this is going to be hard to deal with.
Oh, man. That happens a lot. I'm a manners guy, man. I catch heck from people if I don't say, hey, man, how you doing? Before I get to the point. You know, because when you text somebody, they're like... And see, I think that as a society, we've come to the point where everybody is getting, they have text phobia, where they speak as they text now. It's just to the point. And Texophobia resemble Yankeeism because there's no Southern hospitality to it. Do you get what I'm saying?
I do get that, but what I'm going to say is that I don't know if anybody else is like this, but my text manners, as you're going to call it, change for who I'm talking to. If I'm talking to a close buddy, there's no reason for this, hey, man, what's up? Like, I've talked, like, if it's church, I've talked to him 14 times already that day or the day before, so I don't need an introduction. Or if it's, you know, Jesse or something, I'm not going to say, like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Even though he wouldn't talk to me for 2 weeks or whatever it was this last week. But if it's Estes, then it's immediately just slam, just Mississippi State's terrible, you're, go to your Red Roof Inn. But yeah, like, it's like, sometimes, like, my friends' wives or girlfriends will text me, like, hey, I'm trying to find so-and-so something for their birthday. Well, I'm not going to just be, like, you know, gone. I'm going to talk to them like a lady should be talked to and let them know that I'm not hitting on them and I'm getting them what they want and this is what they need to get them. It's totally different for who you're talking to. Completely different. It depends on how many times you talk. It talks about whether they're male or female. It also depends on how good of friends you are. Like, some people I know through friends, but I don't really know. So with them, you got to have some buffers or fluffers. You can't just go straight to the kill because you don't know. You don't want to make them mad, especially in business. But that's where it's headed. I mean, I'll have a ton of people text me and be like, hey, can you price me this? You know, which is fine. That's completely perfect with me. I have no problem with that. So it just depends the situation. Like, I get a lot of people that send me messages, and I have no idea why. But I have a lot of people that send me boat questions and messages and questions like that on, like, holidays, like Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, stuff like that. And if I open a message from somebody that's asking me about a 25 to hot suit on Christmas Day, more than likely I'm not going to be very sweet. Because that happens. You can ask anybody that sells pretty much anything outdoor related. You will get text messages. There is no shut off time. It doesn't matter late night. It doesn't matter holiday. There's no off. But that's just part of it. I mean, it's just part of being. It's just part of the business. But yeah, I'm not the friendliest with those folks. And you know who you are.
Yeah. I've just been around a lot of younger people and. Here in Oxford, and it seems the younger and younger they get, there's no shake your hand, how you doing? I'll give you a perfect example. My sister-in-law, she'll never listen to this. I'm not worried about it. My youngest sister-in-law, whenever she calls me, it's 100% needing something. She will call me and there's no hello. There's no, how you doing? It's just like she was texting me. I'm like, why the hell didn't you just text me this? It was just needing something. And, hey, you got my dog papers yet? I literally pick up the phone and that's what I hear. You got my dog papers yet? It's text conversation, but live.
Well, you got to think, too, like, on the age thing. I mean, you've got these kids now. On Snapchat, on, you know, Facebook, everything is split second. There's no more like I wonder how many people actually still read books. Like, you know, magazines and stuff like DU magazines, Delta Waterfowl, they've had to have a huge decrease in people that actually read that because you can get everything online and more information. And if you read something and it interests you, instead of going to the next article about peacocks that you don't care about, you just Google or stay online and find what you want to read about or go to YouTube. And like, you know, my 6'2 diesel ain't running right. Go to YouTube and they'll show you how to fix it. It's amazing. So, I mean, yeah, you have all these tools at your disposal here, but you can't let that take over. You still got to be social. Unless you have like some antisocial personality and can't like literally – cannot deal with people, and I know people like that, and that's fine, but not everybody's like us that can talk to, that just goes around and talks to people.
I predict, and we can call it the broom floor theory, but in 20 years, man, people are going to have no social skills. They're just going to talk like they text. That's how they're going to speak to each other.
Maybe, but there's still going to be some people that their personalities will not let them. I have friends that won't text me. They will call. They won't hardly text.
I'm that guy.
And there's people that I'll text, and they never reply. Like, you can go through my text screen, and I'll have, like, 9 texts to their 1. And they're just that way. And so there's still going to be some people. Yeah, it's going to get crazier and crazier with all this stuff. Oh, speaking of, how's your Instagram going?
Screw you.
How's it going?
Hey, the same way that you were raising your hands a minute ago, I'm raising fingers.
How's CrossFit going?
Ooh. Hey, didn't you wild card Texas Tech?
Yeah, I did. Their defense is crazy. And I saw them play, like, there at the end of the season. I was like, dude, these guys, like, they're good. Like, I didn't think they were going to make it to the championship, but I thought they were going to go a long way. I mean, golly. How many people want to get that coach right now? Speaking of coaches, did you hear Rick Barnes is fixing to go to UCLA? The Tennessee people are going to lose it. They're going to be so upset. They're going to go straight back to football. Basketball is going to be over for them. Who are they going to hire? Bruce Pearl? Like, there's no way out of this one. If Rick Barnes leaves them, they are screwed.
UCLA is the Alabama of basketball. The same Alabama is for football.
Absolutely.
There's a long, long history. If there's a few jobs like in college football you want to get as a head coach. Alabama, Notre Dame, Michigan, Georgia, Florida State, and UCLA is that darling of basketball.
It's the same thing. Exactly, but it's the same thing as when Lane Kiffin got offered the USC job in Bolta, Tennessee, and they all burned his house down, his clothes, they went nuts. It's the same thing. What would you rather live in, Los Angeles or Pasadena or one of those ritzy places or Knoxville? Just think about that for a second. Think about living in Los Angeles where it's 70 degrees all the time and every person is hot. There's no fat people and everybody you see is good looking. Would you rather live there or in Knoxville? And if you can tell me you'd rather live in Knoxville, you're either the biggest homer like Estes is about state, or you got serious, serious issues with fandom. Like, you need to go look in the mirror when you get up tomorrow morning and say, my name is so-and-so. I would rather live in Knoxville making $3 million a year than Los Angeles making $5 million a year. If you can look in the mirror and say that and believe yourself, then I can't do anything with it. You're on your own.
Presley, forgive me what I'm about to say. If I was a football coach, I'd want to be in Knoxville. It's a program that you recruit easy to, with the right people in place. You can be really good. I mean, you're competing against Georgia and Florida. Basketball? Knoxville and Fayetteville are a long way from anything. I'm a basketball coach. I don't want to be there.
Yeah. And it has nothing to do. I mean, don't freak out. I mean, it's not even comparable, man. It's like driving a Tesla or driving a freaking Kia. I mean, it's not comparable. And I don't mean this isn't a slide at Tennessee. It's just not the same. And if you were offered, if you're working at Books a Million and you get offered a job as a CEO of some publisher, you're not going to stay at Books a Million. It's not going to happen. The money's not there. Nobody in Tennessee cared about basketball until Rick Barnes got them number one in the country for 2 weeks. Nobody even cared. All they cared about was football. So, I mean, don't give me this all blah, 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 because it wasn't true. You go to UCLA, a coach like that, he will have them in the Final Four in 1 year. All he needs is one recruiting class, and he's in the Final Four. Or he's at least competitive. At Tennessee, he's got to work his ass off.
True.
I mean, think about all where the good basketball players come from. they come from – nowadays you get a lot of good overseas kids, like Diakite at Virginia. And when I was in boarding school in Virginia, we got a bunch of kids. We had a kid from Russia that was 6'11". We had kids from L.A. Out west is where all the basketball players are. It's just like football in the South. A lot of the really, really good football players are out of Florida and all these, you know, this is where these guys come from. It's a regional thing. So when you get to go to L.A. and recruit kids that are far and beyond better than these other guys, then you're giving yourself a better chance to succeed, and that's what it's about. So if you think that he should stay in Knoxville, you're crazy, because it's just like you said, UCLA is a dream job. They've won however many of 13 or 15 or 20 whatever national championships, and they need a good coach, and he's a good coach. He could go there and retire.
I agree. I like the Russian in there. I must break you.
He was awesome. Listen, we had James White, he played for the Knicks. He was a sophomore on this team. We had the Russian that was 6'11" that played semi-pro. He probably should have played pro. We had a kid from Richmond that was 7'3" that was so clumsy he couldn't run down the court. The James White kid won the dunk contest. Okay, he was awesome. He could dunk it from wherever on the court. This was in high school now, and we never got beat ever. I mean, we could recruit. So, I mean, of course, you got all these players, and you're going to the school that costs a certain amount of money, and you say, hey, you can come play for free and get national exposure with 20 minutes from Charlottesville. These kids come and play. They still are incredible. And they like that Diakite kid from Africa, he plays for Virginia. He went to my school. It's the same thing. They do it every year. So,
hey, what's your prediction for tonight?
Man, Virginia's been playing too many close games and getting lucky. They should have lost. I think Texas Tech is going to get play. Texas Tech and Virginia play the same. They play such similar defense, but the difference is Texas Tech's offense in transition is so good that I'm not sure if Virginia can score enough points. Virginia's great, don't get me wrong, but they're going to be very similar on defense. It's probably going to be like a 39-41 halftime score, something like that. And I think in the second half, Texas Tech will pull away just because of the fact that they have more firepower. And I think Virginia's going to do all this stuff to stay in it, but I don't know if they can hang with them. And there's only so many lives you can have as a cat. And Virginia's gotten so lucky the last two or three games. The last game, I read one of the guys I follow from Vegas, they have the live betting, you know, where you can bet on the team all game long if you want to, either side, and the total. Virginia was plus 5,000 to win. So if you bet 100, you won 50,000 to win with two whatever seconds left, 2.6 or whatever. And they said the probability of them winning that game was 2%. The game before that, when they went to overtime against Purdue, the probability of winning was under 7%, and they won. So you can't keep playing like that and win. Eventually, it's going to catch up to you because you're not going to get those calls, and you're not going to get this game tonight is good. They're probably going to let them play because they caught so much heat on the last game. And there's actually a YouTube that I watched from three pro bettors in Vegas. They posted 7 hours before the UVA game and talked for 15 minutes about how the NCAA would not let Virginia lose. 7 hours before the game. So you tell me those guys in Vegas don't know? Just go look at that. And it's on there. And it's the guys from pregame, pregame.com, that put it out. It's RJ Bell that actually did it. I follow him because he gives out a lot of he won't say take this pick, but he'll make three or four or five keys or points, and you're like, man, that makes sense. 7 hours before the game, they said that the NCAA would have their hand in the game and make sure that Virginia went. That, to me, that's freaking crazy. And they all three said it. It wasn't like they didn't even act like it was a big deal. They're like, yeah, they can't let Auburn win. They got to get Virginia in there. So that's, you know, take it how you want it. You can call me and say, oh, there's no fix. They're not playing players, blah, blah. They're absolutely doing it.
Hey, you listen, if anybody's listening from SEC Shorts or ESPN 30 for 30, which is highly unlikely, it's probably about the same bet as Virginia winning the other night, please go make a parody of the Auburn people going to roll the trees before the game was over.
Speaking of that, do you remember last year when Auburn was in a super regional and the guy, the outfielder, literally caught the ball in left field and then hit the wall and it went over for a home run and they lost?
Yes, I do.
So they had that happen and this happened in one calendar year. So they've got some real Ole Miss stuff going for them. They might ought to try and shake that before football season. That's so Ole Miss that, like, it completely wraps up us in a hole right there. Like that's the 4th and 25. That's the stuff we do all the time.
That's a Tommy Tuberville curse. I'm not going to Auburn, yes, but in a pine box. Not leaving Ole Miss,
exactly,
except in a pine box. Yep.
Exactly. And then 2 weeks.
Before I leave you today, emojis. Are emojis okay in text? Because that's something I thought of later. When is it okay,
absolutely,
to put emojis in text?
Dude, I use emojis like a crazy person.
Some people are totally against emojis. 100%.
I know.
Make fun of others.
I use no punctuation, and I use a lot of emojis. And I don't care. If somebody doesn't like it, quit texting me. I mean, if I think something's funny.
All of you listen to this by being somebody in group message and text with Rob. If Rob got paid $1 for skull and crossbones, millionaire.
and the crying laughing face. Between those two, I use them a lot. And you could tell somebody that doesn't use them and it gets on their nerves. Like, when I first started using those GIFs, like, I would use the wrong one or it would be, like, totally out of it wouldn't work with the conversation. And Jake would be like, Rob, you got to quit using them. Like, you're using them all wrong. Like, he would get pissed. And I'd be like, what do you mean I'm using it wrong? He's like, well, that doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about. And I was like, so you're supposed to use these, like, correctly? Like, so all of a sudden there's a way to use GIFs? Like, I thought they were just, like, funny, like cartoons. They're like, no. You got to use it, like, for, you know, for the conversation. So I've been trying to get better, but I still suck at it. But that's just the way it is.
Another great Monday with Rob. Rob, thank you again. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast powered by DuckSouth.com.